Welcome back to Pedagogy Non Grata, where we bridge the gap between the science and literature and teaching in the classroom. I'm your host, as always, Joseph, and I'm joined here today by Vinci, who is a owner of a Kumon franchise. I'm actually really excited to have Vinci on here, and I'm a little embarrassed. I'm going to tell the audience this. I scheduled this interview three times, and my dad brain, having the newborn baby, just messed up the timing two times before this. So I'm actually amazed that she's still been willing to come on the podcast with me. But luckily she has, and I've actually really wanted to interview someone from a Kumon place for a really long time. I think there's some really interesting aspects to Kumon. I really like this idea that it focuses on individualization in the sense that it follows the students' needs. Anyone who's been a long time listener of the podcast knows that that is an idea that's really true and dear to my heart as a teacher. And there seems to be, I think, a little bit of controversy around Kumon. I recently put out a meta-analysis on the internet that I did actually a year ago. I put it out in some Facebook groups, and there was a big response. A ton of people read the article, and a ton of people got upset, not because they disputed the statistical data I was reporting on, just they hated Kumon so much that they were like angry. The results of Kumon in the literature are really compelling. I mean, we only have a handful of studies, so you have to take it with a grain of salt, but all of them showed moderate to really high results. So I think it's really fascinating. And I'm really happy to hear from Vinci here today, who's a Kumon expert, tell us all about it. So I feel I've been droning on long enough. Vinci, can you introduce yourself a little bit further to the audience?
Hello, my name is Vinci Teodorescu. I've been a Kumon instructor for about 17 years. I totally understand where you came from, Nathan. I am a mom of two daughters. Although I am in a much different phase of life, they're 24 and 19. I totally understood your dad brain and was willing to forgive. Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Yes. I've been an instructor for 17 years and love the Kumon methodology. And I'm happy to share some insight into the program today.
So let's hear first up, what is Kumon?
Well, Kumon is a methodology. It came out of Japan 60 plus years ago. A father developed this curriculum for his own son, and the community learned about the program, and it started to spread in Japan, and eventually came to the U.S. and people started to understand the program and wanted their own children to experience the Kumon methodology. The math program was the focus in the beginning, and then the reading or the native language came about. In my center, we primarily focus on English or reading and math.
Okay, so describe to me the methodology.
The Kumon methodology is basically when a student comes into the center, we provide a test to figure out where the student is. And depending on the test and the score, we place the student at a level that's comfortable for them. This is probably one of the areas that parents or people find it controversial. We start them pretty low because we want them to be super comfortable. So a fifth grader could start at addition, but the goal is for them to really have a strong grasp of the addition skills. They're not using their fingers. They're not using any kind of coping mechanism, I call them, to be able to add and subtract. So we want them to be very strong in math. So once we go through the testing process and identify where they need to start, we take them through the curriculum. And the entire curriculum is divided into different levels. We might start a student at the addition level, basically because we want the students to know their addition very, very well. And once that level is complete, we provide a test and we move on to the next level. And at any point in the program, our goal is to make sure that the student has achieved mastery. And this mastery is what gives the student the confidence. And the other part of this whole equation is we don't limit the student by their age or grade level. And once they move past the grade level, we can continue to take them wherever they want to go. I have an 8-year-old and my son are doing algebra.
That's exactly how I teach math, actually.
Yeah.
as a grade math teacher, I test the kids, find out where they are, and we worry about mastery, and we don't worry about very much else. And then oftentimes I find the kids actually end up working ahead of schedule. Like, it's more often that they work ahead than they work behind. But
yeah, I remember when I was in high school, I actually came from India when I was about 11 years old. And I was a very strong math student when I came here. And in high school, I actually asked my high school teacher, I have the entire summer, I need to get ahead in math because I want to do calculus in high school so that I'm ready for college. And he gave me the geometry book to do over the summer. I finished the entire geometry book because I was very motivated. I went to school the following year and the teacher said, well, I'm sorry, I can't give you credit. You finished the entire book, but I can't give you credit for that work. You need to take the class again. I was so discouraged, so discouraged.
See, I would love to see is if we could just give you a test. Like, exactly. I wouldn't personally, as a teacher, I wouldn't like be like, oh yeah, well, you know, you did the book. Oh, that's fine. But I'd be happy to give a kid a test and be like, you know what, you've proven this. But for me as a teacher, I wouldn't like exempt you from the course. I would then be like, all right, we're doing enrichment for the rest of the year, you and I, because you already know everything basic. So now let's work on that.
Yeah. And I was expecting the teacher to say, hey, let me give you the test and let's move on. And that didn't happen. So I was discouraged. And to this day, I just remember that story, that whole moment of, no, I just did this entire summer of geometry and it was just a complete waste. Anyways, I got an A in the class and it was fine. Moved on. I did not get a chance to do calculus in high school, though. That was disappointing.
I think this is actually the most illogical part of our education system. This whole fact that the idea that grades are based on solely on age and not on knowledge. Like, I understand why they do that and like the social elements, but I also feel like we could just teach the material to the individual students. And right. Get, like, what if teachers were responsible for creating work for their grade level, but if a student was working ahead, they could just get the work from the next teacher up and still stay in their regular classroom or something.
And that's part of the reason why I love Kumon, is because we can continue to build that child skill up as long as the child wants to do it and the parent wants to do it. And that commitment level is there. We can continue to take them where they need to be and where they want to be. And it actually makes the teacher's life a lot easier when a child goes into the classroom prepared.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. So one of the criticisms I saw online was that Kumon focuses almost exclusively on computational knowledge and procedural knowledge. Now, mm-hmm. when I looked at the research, they actually looked at comprehension outcomes for math mm-hmm. or conceptual outcomes. And actually, Kumon group experiment group did better than the control group for conceptual knowledge. Is conceptual knowledge taught in Kumon? And is there like application questions? Do they have like higher level thinking questions, or is it only like skill and drill, for lack of a better word?
It's I would say 95% of it is skill and drill. Okay. And the idea behind that is, and I don't disagree with it at all, is because school is handling the application side of mathematics at this point. So our goal is to be a supplement, where our goal is not to replace the school curriculum. But let's think about it. If a student is getting the supplement part of the math education, which is strong mathematical sense, addition and subtraction, multiplication, division skills, strong fraction skills, strong algebra skills, right? And yeah. Then a student is exposed to strong language skills, English skills, mm-hmm. And then the conceptual problem solving skills are being taught in the classroom, and they're able to understand it because they have strong mathematical skills, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a three-part formula, I believe. That's when a strong math student emerges.
But yeah, I think that's a totally fair response. So you say, it makes total sense to me that just building that computational fluency and that procedural fluency would help to make the student more confident and allow for easier learning in other areas. I know, like, I was not a good math student. And it's funny because, like, now I have a blog that's entirely based on statistics. And actually, I have two blogs on statistics. I wrote a book on statistics, and I'm a math teacher, which is the irony of being someone who was not good at math at school. But right. I think if I had done something like Kumon, I think I probably would have been more confident in it and done better. Because I think my ability, my problem with math as a school kid was confidence element. I just thought it was hard. And I let it really get in my head that math is hard. So I wasn't going to try hard in math class.
Okay.
So why do you think Kumon works?
The strength of the foundation that they're getting. You know, I think that's what the mastery of the material and the foundation skills are very strong when kids start early and they are moving through the program and they're reaching the grade level and working beyond grade level. That provides a lot of confidence. And they're able to tackle new things in school with ease. And that's why it works.
That makes total sense. So when and for who do you think Kumon works best?
Well, I've done this for 17 years, and I can for sure say that younger the better. So if I can get a student in kindergarten or first grade and start the training process at that point, and they stick with it for, you know, 3 to 4 years, I see tremendous growth in math ability.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is there any students or circumstances where you think Kumon is less effective, where you wouldn't recommend
it? I believe Kumon works at any grade level, at any age group, but the problem with Kumon is the high school level. The main focus is the actual work, right? The students have to actually do the assignments that are assigned, the worksheets that we have. High school students tend to have not enough time to sit down and do that homework because they have schoolwork, they have activities, you know, they've got to focus on building their resume for the tests that are coming up, or college applications that are coming up, or any major things that are coming up in their end of high school career. They're preparing for that, and they just don't have the time commitment to actually be trained in math at the high school level.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I appreciate you giving that answer, like a real open and honest answer. I'm sure there's lots of people who would want to just be like, my program is great for everything.
There's a lot going on from a high school standpoint with the students that I see, especially, you know, the families that are concerned about their grades at high school level. They tend to think that Kumon can just, you know, fix it. And they come in and realize that their multiplication skills are not there. And then the argument is, I can use the calculator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not how Kumon works.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I think that there is some modern criticism against computational knowledge being taught, because the idea that you could just use a calculator, like why do we still need to teach kids how to use how to do multiplication in their head, for example, or addition in their head? Why don't we just give them a calculator? What's your thoughts? What's your response to that critic?
You know, I think what we're missing when it comes to the math conversation is that math helps us to be better problem solvers. We, you know, the more we rely on calculators and technology to solve problems, we as humans are having a harder time solving problems. I feel like my math ability is what's helping me to be a problem solver. And it's just, we just want to outsource everything at this point. And I really feel like math is one of those fundamental language that we have to learn. To be better problem solvers. I think that art is being taken away. When I hear, you know, states saying we don't want to make 4-year math requirement a thing anymore, I cringe. Yeah. You know, I always think, like, why are we dumbing down our kids?
Yeah, I've noticed that there's a new trend in education to want to lower the bar and lower expectations for students, as if, and it's often promoted as like a thing for equity. Mm-hmm. And I find that really frustrating. You know, I started this podcast in the goal of increasing equity in education through raising the bar and raising academic achievement for students who are marginalized. That was sort of the goal behind the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so seeing people being like, we need to lower the bar for the sake of equity. I'm thinking, no, we need to raise the bar for the sake of equity. We need to be providing high quality instruction to all students. So it's not just students who grow up with all the advantages in life who are going to get a good education. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, it's interesting to me, this idea that, you know, you can completely remove computational math out of math and just say, well, we won't teach the kids that part. They'll just do that on a calculator. I feel like knowing your math facts gives you a more fluid and natural understanding of math. So that when you get that problem solving application, critical thinking math question, that you mm-hmm. it's more natural to you to try and interpret the answer or try and find a solution, because you don't have to like sort of slowly wrap your brain around the problem. You already have all this math knowledge in your head that you can draw on and use to apply to solving that problem. But
right. One of the things that I noticed, and this is just observation, this is not a study that I did or anything like that. So when I test students in first grade through third grade, okay, if a student is struggling in reading, okay, and the mom or dad says they're struggling in math, it's almost always they're not able to understand the language-based math. And when I ask questions like, what's 1 + 1? What's 2 + 1? They're able to work with me, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's, you know, between ages of 5 to 8, that period, kids truly need to know. They need to really build fluency with addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
Yeah, I agree that. I think that something, you know, there's this desire to give word problems because they seem, one, friendlier in some way. And two, they seem more natural to the real world, because in the real world, people aren't going to hand you a sum tidily written out for you in numbers.
Right.
But right. So many kids who have struggled reading, I think that's going to be a problem for them. And starting with the word problems before the kids are fluent readers, I think, because then you're increasing the complexity in a way that's not actually related to the math.
And it demotivates them from 100%. Wanting to learn math.
100%. I agree. I think word problems aren't ideal in grades 1 and 2. I think it's okay to start to have some of them. And I think it's okay to start introducing more in grade 3. But like grade 1, like half the class doesn't know how to read yet. I don't see the validity in giving them like a sheet of word problems. Especially not if that's going to be multi-steps. I don't believe in giving multi-step word problems to grade 1 students. Call me. I'm sure someone out there listening to this podcast is going to be offended by that, but c'est la vie. What kind of results have you seen with Kumon?
Oh my goodness. Well, my own children, it's a classic example of results I've seen. They never struggled in school. And they started Kumon early, especially Kumon math early. And they were able to take calculus in 11th grade. And we were like, okay, what now in 12th grade? Did very well on their standardized tests throughout. Never had to prep for ACT or SAT. Literally, you know, I said, hey, I'm signing you up for the test. Here you go. This is the date. You're going to go take it. And okay, they scored very well. And they graduated in the top 10 or, you know, top five of the class. I've seen so many success stories. These kids come in as five-year-olds, graduate from high school. They're going to University of Michigan, Georgia Tech, you know, amazing schools throughout the country. Many of them are physicians now. Being in the business for 17 years, I'm able to see some of my students really doing fantastic things in life. So I know Kumon had a role in that. You know, it's not always, you know, the only thing, but strong family support, you know, strong education and also strong training behind them.
I think that's awesome. And just as a side note, this is just sort of a random thought. Looking at the education system, the world with the highest results, it's probably actually surprising to most people, it's China. But China also puts a big emphasis on after-school schooling from private clinics. And actually most Asian countries do, and most Asian countries produce higher academic achievement than Western schools. Yeah, I'm sure that there's a balance there to strike between like the happiness of the child and not overwhelming them. But I think it's not a terrible idea to have your kids do some homework at some place. I know as a teacher, just over the last 10 years, I've found that it's hard to get parents to get kids to do homework. So I don't tend to do a lot of it just because it never comes back to me at any school, at any class. It's not like my school specific. I've taught all over the world. I've taught in Korea. I've taught in England. I've taught in the Arctic. Right now I teach in Southern Ontario, Canada. I've never had a school where like kids were like just bringing in homework. But I think the idea of if you as a parent put your kids in a like basically what amounts to almost like a homework program or a tutoring program, that might also help to give them that extra instructional time they need to be their most successful versions of themselves.
Well, but this is interesting though. This is a very good conversation. So kids are not given homework between the ages of, or between the grades of first grade through fifth grade, right? Because most of the work is done in the classroom.
Yeah.
Fifth grade comes, they're given homework, right? They haven't built a habit or a discipline of doing homework at home, right? And then they're expected to do homework. They're expected to remember everything that they've done over the last 4 years or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And they're expected to do really well in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the struggles start. And if they're not given a lot of support during that period of time, they could either go down a very difficult path of education or they can take off, right? So if there is a way to supplement education through some level of after-school study, meaning spending an hour of some level of learning, studying something outside of the school. And I remember when my daughters were growing up, there was one family in my community. I just heard that they would do 2 hours of after school, non-school related study. And that was a commitment that they made that they were going to do. And they did that.
Wow.
Throughout elementary school. I know where those kids are now. They're doing pretty phenomenal things in life, right?
I bet. I think it's this funny thing. When I did this investigation into the countries of the world and how their education systems differ and what the results look like, And it just seemed like the countries that did the most homework and had the most hours of school had the highest results. And I think as like a parent now, I don't want my kids to grow up in an education system where they're doing 16 hours of school a day. But at the same time, if 6 hours a day is going to get them, you know, here, and 7 hours is going to get them that extra 10 miles, I want them to do that extra hour. I think it's valid to try and find some level of balance for your child.
Right. This is the other reason I love Kumon. So students go to school from 8 a.m. until 3:30, right? That's, or 8:30 until 3:30 here in the US. And our requirement is students attend the center twice a week, and they're given 20 minutes of homework per subject. And that's it. That's the commitment. That is nothing. So that is doable with the extracurricular mindset we have, right?
Totally.
You know, my students are doing piano, violin, gymnastics, football. I have this young five-year-old with a bag as big as him coming in. He's a hockey player. He's into hockey, and the way he carries it, I'm like, you know, first time I saw him, it's like, what do you do? And he's like, I play hockey. It's okay. I was just shocked that he's going to hockey, coming to Kumon, or vice versa, or he had it for the hockey. And he's like, yeah, I do hockey. I do basketball when it's time for basketball. And he does Kumon. And he does both math and reading.
Yeah.
So it's doable. It's priorities, though.
You know, I've done a lot of coaching over the years. And I think the thing I like about sports for kids actually is how it teaches them growth mindset. That if you work hard at something, you improve. And I think that's one thing I'm noticing about your program is that you set it up in such a way that the kids can see their own improvement and that they worked and they made progress.
Yeah.
And I think it's sometimes hard to see that in the classroom.
Yeah, it is.
So I think that in itself can be just such a powerful tool and a motivating factor. So I think it's great. I think you've done a really good job of establishing what Kumon is for. You know, I think you know, the criticism of Kumon that it's not a conceptual program, I think it's really well answered in saying, well, that's not the point of Kumon. The point of Kumon is to give you that additional practice to help make sure your computational fluency is there to support that conceptual.
Right. I mean, there will be critics in every arena, right? You have critics.
I get it's always a strange thing when you have a critic too,
right? And I continue to do this. I have options. I can do a million other things, but I continue to believe in the program. I continue to see results. I see what it has done for my own children. And the Mr. Toru Kumon, the visionary of this program, you know, had a lofty vision with this methodology, and I truly believe that it will continue to make an impact in the lives of children for many years to come. The methodology truly works. It is all about how big you want to make it, you know, in the schedule of the child, and making an impact based on what they're capable of doing on a daily basis, and aligning it with the school curriculum on a daily basis. That's all that truly matters.
I agree with that. That's great. You know, I've interviewed more people than I can count now on this podcast, and I have to say, you have the nicest office. I feel sorry for our listeners that they can't see your office in the podcast episode that's going to come out, but you just have such a beautiful office sitting behind you.
this is my work. Like, this is my home.
Yeah.
And this is my work environment. And actually, I'll show you something just so that you can see.
Oh, wow. My
map.
That's beautiful.
My husband and I wanted to start traveling when COVID goes away. So we actually have a map that we want to put flags on when we start to travel.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people find more about you or about Kumon?
Kumon.com. And I'm located, my specific center is located in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Awesome. Well, until next time, folks, that's it for now.
Thank you. See you later.